Our Old Testament reading comes from Daniel chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle comes from Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 18, verses 33 to 37. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, both our Old Testament reading today from the prophet Daniel and our epistle lesson written by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, foretell the future, the second coming of Christ. The question is, are these prophecies political in nature? And I ask that because there's political language used. These prophecies refer to thrones and kings and tribes and kingdoms and dominion. The root word of domination, and the word glory pops up. And then, of course, there's the conversation between Jesus and Pilate recorded in our gospel lesson. Just hours before Jesus was crucified, Pilate, representing Rome, the nation that had conquered and currently occupied Israel, Pilate asked Jesus directly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate was trying to get a handle on exactly who Jesus was before he ordered his crucifixion. And frankly, Jesus didn't help much when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." What does that mean? Does Jesus have a kingdom or not? Does Jesus have a political agenda? This was confusing to Pilate 2,000 years ago, and it's still confusing in America. where surveys indicate the average person thinks evangelical is a political term, referring to a conservative voter. Just so you know, by the way, an evangel is one who proclaims the good news of the gospel. So an evangelical is supposed to mean someone who subscribes to the truth of the gospel, someone who understands that we are forgiven by God, forgiven because of what Christ has done for us. But what about these prophecies from Daniel and John? We mentioned Daniel last week. He was a resident of Jerusalem during some of the darkest days of its history. Around 600 BC, just a few years before the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, Daniel was captured and taken as a slave to Babylon. Because he was an unusually intelligent and well-educated young man, he was assigned to serve in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, where Daniel became known as an interpreter of dreams and as a prophet. Well, John, from our epistle lesson here, is the Apostle John, who came 600 years after Daniel. He was the youngest of the apostles, the one who referred to himself in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he was the only apostle who didn't die as a martyr, but lived into his 90s on the island of Patmos. The prophecies of Daniel and John that we read today describe the return of Jesus on the last day. Daniel refers to God the Father as the Ancient of Days, a nod to God's eternal nature. And he refers to Jesus as the Son of Man, a title used by both prophets and by Jesus when Jesus referred to himself. John's prophecy refers to Jesus as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, meaning the first to rise from the dead, and refers to Jesus as the ruler of kings. Both Daniel and John's prophecies also refer to a kingdom. Daniel described it as a kingdom that will never pass away and never be destroyed. And the Apostle John described the kingdom of Christ as being made up of those whom Christ loves and has freed from their sin. So who are the citizens of this kingdom Daniel and John both refer to? Those who belong to Christ and have been forgiven. Those who've been baptized in his name and cling to him in faith. In other words, you. You are the citizens of the kingdom of God. In seminary, a definition I was taught was that the kingdom of God exists where God's gifts are given and received. God's gifts of forgiveness. God's gifts of encouragement. God's gifts of acceptance and love. Where does that happen? Well, one place that it happens regularly is right here. The kingdom of God is here, in the bread and wine, in the gospel proclaimed, and in the words of absolution. Speaking of which, I told a story on Thanksgiving Eve that most of you didn't hear. So it was suggested to me that I repeat it. So I apologize to you who've heard this, but this relates to what the kingdom of God is and where the kingdom of God exists. A month ago, I was thankful to attend a theological conference in San Diego. One of the speakers there was a pretty well-known Lutheran theologian named Jim Nestingen. I mentioned him briefly on a Sunday recently. Yeah, he's the guy who talks like this, you know. In other words, he speaks Norwegian. But I mention him because of this story he told. Years ago on an airplane, he was sitting next to a guy who asked Nestenjan what he did for a living. So he told the guy that he was a Lutheran seminary professor, which prompted a discussion. It turned out that this guy was a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam. As a 19-year-old, he fought in the Battle of Khe Sanh. He was blunt with Nestenjan about what he'd seen and what he'd done, and it was pretty horrific. He talked about his feelings of guilt and the shame he felt. He talked for a couple hours. When the plane was descending for landing, he became quiet. So Jim Nestenjan turned to the guy and asked, "You have anything else to confess?" The former soldier replied, "What do you mean, confess? I've never confessed anything to anybody." And Nestenjan said, "You've been confessing for the whole flight. Is there anything else?" The guy hesitated and then said, "No, I think that's it." So Jim Nestenjan told him, "When I hear a confession like that, I'm obligated to pronounce absolution." So even though the plane was in descent and the seatbelt lights were on and all the passengers had been instructed to fasten their seatbelts, despite the horrified expressions on the cabin crew's faces, despite the curiosity of their fellow passengers, Jim Nestenjan unfastened his seatbelt, stood up, and put his hand on the man's head. And this is what he said: "If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God unto you, and I, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he made the sign of the cross over him. And then Jim Nestenjan sat down and buckled his seatbelt. And the man sitting next to him started to cry. And then he started to sob. And then he turned to Nestenjan and said, "That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Will you say it again?" So Nestenjan did. In fact, the man called him every day for the next 2 weeks just to hear the beautiful words of absolution again. Forgiveness from the lips of one sinner to another. That's the kingdom of God in action. In this case, located on a plane. It has nothing to do with politics. It's the place where sinners and failures and those who fear the future and those afflicted with shame and regret and sadness, it's where we receive forgiveness and hope. In fact, that's exactly why we're gathered here this morning. Both our Old Testament and Epistle lessons today culminate with the description of Christ returning to earth on the last day, coming on the clouds to save us. It's a day when sadness will give way to everlasting joy, when disappointment is overwhelmed by sheer delight. That's not the beginning of the kingdom of God. We benefit as citizens of the kingdom of God right now. But it's the culmination of the kingdom of God. When Christ returns and we, the sinful and unworthy, those of us who struggle with shame and guilt and regret, all of us. All of us will stand before the throne of God, accepted and loved, wrapped in the righteous robes of Christ. Why? Because you're forgiven. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Christ the King Sunday, we thank you that you have adopted us as sons and daughters and made us citizens of your kingdom. And we can count ourselves among those whom you love and have died for. Cause that fact to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.